Well, welcome guys to the Church Alive podcast. So excited you're with us on this journey of faith. Our church exists to reach, teach, and empower people to live free in Christ and transform their world. You might listen to this from afar or close. You may want to check out our website, churchalive.tv, or come visit us sometime. We want to build strong families, strong lives, strong men, strong women. Our theme this year is strengthen, and we just pray that in 2024, God strengthens your life in a unique way. God bless you richly as you lean in to His Word and His presence.
Come on, gentlemen, why don't we stand to our feet? We're about to read some scripture. You know, if you told me 5 years ago we'd have 400, 500 men in the Williams Center on a Monday night. It's Monday, JP. It's Monday, Jerry. It's Monday, Big Papa. It's Monday, and the touch of God's here in a special way. Do you believe it? Touch of God's here in a special way, and I really pray that tonight something can shift. I always believe when we get around the Word of God, if we'll bring faith, man, something can shift. It can be small, it can be big, it can affirm faith in you, but for some of you, it can be a life-changing 360 moment where everything turns around. And man, I just feel like we're just getting started. Let me read a passage of scripture to you. Then we're going to get into it. You ready? 2 Samuel 23. These are the last words of David. The inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse. The utterance of the man exalted by the Most High. The man anointed by the God of Jacob. The hero of Israel's songs. Listen to what he said. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. Come on, let's pray together. Why don't you put your hand on the shoulder of the man next to you? And here's how we pray it. Church Alive. Here's how we pray at 252, and here's how we pray it. Men's transform. We pray boldly, and we pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray like the guy next to us matters. So I want us for the next minute to pray for the guy on our left, and I want you to pray, and if you don't know how to pray, cool, just receive it. But if you know how to pray, come on, can we pray for the man to the left of us right now? Come on, let's release faith in this place, man. Come on, let's pray. Father God, I speak your blessing over your men, over marriages, homes, minds, their businesses, everything they touch. I speak by your grace, by your blood. I ask you to bless them. God, as you bless Jabez, oh God, that you'd bless them. Oh God, as you bless Solomon with wisdom, God, bless them. God, if you bless, Lord, in the New Testament with love, I pray you'd bless them with love and wisdom and power, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, everyone said. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Grab your seat. Thought I'd start out with a little something funny recently. How many of you like to cook ribs? Anyone like to cook ribs? We got an expert in the front row here. I didn't realize you were going to be here. Anyway, I used Big Papa's salt the other day, and I was spicing my ribs up. Forgot I had that. Anyway, I was cooking ribs the other day, and I don't cook ribs much. I cook chicken, cook steak. But anyway, I was doing some ribs. I'm cooking ribs. whole bunch of fat is pouring down into the tray. And then all of a sudden, I walk back in the kitchen. I walk out to my back deck. My ribs are on fire, all kinds of stuff. I gotta get my water. And then I get my water and I throw on too much water onto that fire. And the fire literally just goes boom, right in my face like this. You can't see it from here. If you come really close, I got all these singed hairs. Listen, not my eyelashes, not my eyebrows, right here, like at the edge. And I got a high enough forehead, man. I don't need to do that. I don't need to singe any more hairs, if you know what I mean. And if you look close, it's not pretty, man. Why'd I tell you that story? Manhood's an amazing thing. It can bless. It can build, it can create, it can heal, it can restore, but it can burn. Determined on how you use it. The passage of scripture we just read, 2 Samuel chapter 23, says this. I want to read the second portion to you. Watch this now. And I paraphrased it because I felt like ruling probably doesn't sit with most of you, but I want you to see this. When one leads over people, someone say leads over people. In righteousness, when he leads in the fear of God. Someone say lead in the fear of God. When he leads in the fear of God, watch this now. This is the promise for your life. This is the reality of your life. It's this. He is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. How many of you would like that said about your own life? Show that picture book. Like, this is what he's saying. He's saying when someone leads in the fear of God, when someone actually have character, this is what happens. It's like that beautiful morning sun. I was talking to someone in the NYPD recently, talking to someone in the New York police officer, and I was talking to someone in the New York fire department. They were telling me about the chaos that's actually happening at the moment in New York regarding basically just mental health, crime, all kinds of things. One of my close friends works in the city. He says twice a week he's basically getting berated on the subway. And I would say this, it happens because people lost their fear of God. At the end of the day, when we make laws that literally pull down the fences of society, how many know society breaks? And then we look around and go, what happened? What happened? There's all these problems. Because God, actually, his fences don't save us, but they do help us. See, the grace of God saves us, but his fences are for our blessing. How many of you got kids? How many know when you got young kids, you need fences? You need parameters. If you've got teenagers, you need parameters on your kids. You need boundaries with them. Man, we need boundaries on our own world. If we take away the boundaries and break every boundary, what will happen? Chaos will ensue. What is man? Heard a definition recently that I thought was super helpful. A friend of mine actually in the city is a brilliant, brilliant thinker. He wrote this. A man is an image bearer and son of God. I want you to show this on the screen. A man is an image bearer and son of God. Watch this now. Entrusted with power and responsibility to create, cultivate, care, defend for God's glory and the good of others. Let me read that again. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. A man is an image bearer and son of God. Entrusted with power and the responsibility to create, cultivate, care, defend for God's glory and the good of others. Someone say amen. Amen. Why have a definition so you know what you're shooting for? Where there is no vision, people perish. Where you have a false vision, where you have a distorted vision, it shifts something in you. But when you have a godly vision, men thrive. Men build. They take ground. They produce good things. When a man has a godly vision, his family is blessed. His finances are in order. His relationships are at least not going backwards. Can I get a good amen? his legacy, there's something pushing forward. There's a blessing of a generational legacy when someone knows what he's meant to be, surrender to the King, and keep saying, Jesus, help me be it. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Vision is the what. Vision's what are we going to do? Vision's what? What's the goal? Vision's where we're headed. But let me suggest this. More important than what, it's why. More important than what you're going to do with your life, what is it? I would ask you this, why? Ask yourself, why should I be a man that reaches my full potential? Someone say, why? Ask yourself why. Second question, ask yourself, why should I become the man God intends for me to become? Or the young man, say why? Or the older men, say why? Ask yourself why is important that the one who made me gets to shape me. Vision's important. Why is more important? Let me say this. A lot of men will struggle with discipline. But too many men blame discipline. It ain't discipline. It's your why. You're like, oh, I'm not disciplined. I can't do it. No. You haven't tapped in to the why. Why do I want to be healthy? Why do I want a good marriage? Why do I want to be a good father? Why do I want to stand before the King one day and give an account for my life and say, God, I did it as best I could by your grace? Why? If we will tap into the why, guess what? Passion starts to bubble on the inside. Fire starts to bubble on the inside. Do you know that the word for enthusiasm in the original Latin in the 1500s, do you know what enthusiasm meant? It meant to be filled with God. Enthusiasm. Someone say enthusiasm. Someone say to be filled with God. So what is a man when he's apathetic? What is a man when he's passive? Because I would say apathy and passivity is one of the primary things that men wrestle. What did Adam do? He just stood there while Eve's having conversation with the devil. Was he watching Netflix? Are you with me? Desire. Someone say why. When you ask yourself the harder question of desire, guess what? After that comes commitment. After that comes discipline. After that comes execution. And you get execution, you will get results. Can we say that together? Desire, commitment, discipline, execution, results. Someone say, don't blame your discipline. You need to tap into your desire. You got to tap into your why. Why? Why would you want to grow spiritually? Man, is there any point to life if you don't actually connect to your creator? Why should you be healthy? I was talking to someone the other day, lost 37 pounds recently. I asked him the question, how do you feel? He's like, man, I feel so much better. I talked to someone else the other day, 2 days ago. I said, man, you're looking real good. How much weight you lose? He goes, 47 pounds. I was like, 47 pounds, baby. I said, how do you feel? He goes, I feel amazing. How about just get healthy because you want to feel amazing? The Apostle Paul, I think I use this scripture every time I preach to men, but why not? Let's keep going. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? He's speaking from a physical perspective. Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into what? They go in a strict training. They do it. Now he's talking about athletes, pro athletes back then. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Someone will remember you maybe for 20, 30 years. If you're really the best, they'll remember you maybe for 100. But then he says this, but we do it. Someone say, we do it. He's talking to Christians. He says, we do it. He's talking to men. He's talking to women. He's talking to those people who actually follow after God. He says, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Why do you need to lead yourself well, gentlemen, so that someone listens to you through the decades? How many fathers in here, put up your hand, your father? How many would like your kids to listen to you? One of the reasons, this is why you should be in a transform group. One of the reasons they will not listen to you sometimes is because sometimes they see the stuckness. It's just the facts. I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you. If a man goes to church and his relationship's a disaster, his finances a disaster, his health is a disaster, he says, you should follow God, son. The son's gonna look at him and say, why would I follow you? It's just the facts. And so our lives are preaching before we ever say anything. Now that doesn't mean you need to be perfect at all. Sometimes actually when you stumble, when you fall, when you make mistakes, but then you say, hey, I'm sorry. Then all of a sudden they're drawn to you. Because they realize dad's humble. It's okay if you're a dad, if you're gonna say sorry to your kid. You're not gonna do it perfectly. Just do it the best you can. Do it the best you can. Are you with me? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Now here's the problem when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You kind of read it and you're like, okay, I need to run this race. And most of the time, because we live in a very individual culture, we see ourselves run the race by ourselves. We're just like, oh, come on, I'm gonna run. No, run with a group of men. Did you see the men doing push-ups and chin-ups? Not push-ups, sorry, bench press. When I threw up, no, I didn't throw up. I threw up, I was talking about weight. I was like, I threw up, I didn't throw up. I'm over there, I'm like, should I jump in there? So I throw on 135. That's my warm-up weight. I'm like, boom, boom, boom. I normally do it 20 times. Now it's my warm-up weight, right? But guess what? Men were watching. I normally do it in the gym 20 times. It's kind of like, okay, that's my number. I just bang out 20. Men were watching. All of a sudden, 30 show up. Pretty quick. I was like, okay. I need more men to watch me work out. Pastor Fernando, what do you think? Right? You run faster, do better when you're around other men who are pushing you, encouraging you. You just do. Stop trying to be a solo ranger. Let me say this. You're not David Goggins. Stop running by yourself. Run with others. David Goggins can motivate you, but he's got some issues. He needs Jesus. Don't run alone. This is why we have a three-year path. Literally a three-year path of learning, three-year path of growth, three-year path where you're getting unstuck, three-year path where if you've done the 3 years, now go find someone else to serve and to grow. Once you've gone through it, go back, help someone else. We have a three-year path where we go through Transform the Book, the Gospel of John, Book of Proverbs, Ephesians, Nehemiah, Freedom. Now we're working on the young men curriculum and that's gonna become a three-year path. Why do we need a path? Because most of the time our disciplines are not strong enough. But that's the way God made it. Can I get a good amen? We don't just need motivation, we need a path. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and favor with man. And he became the most powerful instrument for change in just 3 years of public ministry. I'm going to go through a bunch of information just for a second. I want to give you just a picture of Jesus. And then I want to go through these cards in a moment. And I'm going to preach to you a little bit about Champion. I got way too much information. So let me see if I can get through it. You good? Yeah, you guys ready? Some of you are like, okay, I got a big brain, I can handle it all. Some of you are like, slow down. He became the most powerful instrument for change. Watch what he did. I want you to go through this quickly, guys. Teaching. I want to say this because you need a full picture of Jesus, not just a small micro picture of Jesus. Because sometimes your only picture of Jesus is soft. And so you think a Christian is soft. You should be saved, not soft. Saved, forgiven, not soft, gentlemen. What did he do? Teaching. He taught, healing, exercised authority, had compassion though for the weak, strong to the powerful and the self-righteous. He was wise with no one his equal, spiritual sight and knowledge like no one who walked before the earth. He walked closely with 12 men, courageous and bold in all things, sacrificial in death, loving while being tortured, forgiving his accusers and betrayers and those who were closest to him, fully surrendered to the Father's will, steps out of a tomb with power and authority, holds no grudges to those who betrayed him and left him, and instead turned over the mission and the assignment of God to them, giving them instructions and telling them to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, and did this all in 3 years. Changed the world in 3 years. Jesus had a path. Somebody say, Jesus had a path. Our desire, our pastor's desire, our leader's desire, you to become a 252 man, but the path is transformed. There's a path to it. It's not just sprinkle dust. It's not just come to the front and get anointing. No, there's sacrifice sometimes. There's discipline sometimes. There's fall down, get up again. Can I get a good amen? At the start of the year, I felt like the Lord give me a word for our church, and I just want to encourage some of you with it. Because some of you are new, the church is growing a lot. So I want to re-encourage what I said in January at our last 252. I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, basically tell the men, if they will plant, I will strengthen you. But I felt like in my heart, I was in Adelaide, Australia, and I was thinking about the next 252 night, praying about it. I felt like the Lord give me something particular. And I felt like the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and say, prophesy champions over them. So I'm going to preach a few thoughts around this thought of champion. And I want you to grab this card for a second. Who's got one of these cards? Everyone got one? Pull this out real quick. I'm going to basically go through. These are my points. But I didn't just want to preach to you a sermon and you go, great sermon, pastor, that's nice, and then go home and forget it. There is 52 days. Someone say 52 days. There's 52 days until 252 the weekend, and I want to give a challenge. I want to give a challenge that every morning you go through the Lord's Prayer, first of all, that leads you to Jesus. But you declare something different over your life, your wife, your family, our transform group, our church, and you start to say, man, in Christ, I can be a champion. Can I get a good amen? Amen. So let me talk to you about it a little bit so you're actually motivated to do it. 2 Samuel chapter 23, the Bible says this, next to him was Shema. Someone say Shema. Son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shema did what? Shema did what? He took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it, struck the Philistines down, and watch this now, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says the Lord brought about a great victory, but you're like, wait, but Shema did the fighting. It's always together. God doesn't just change your mind in a moment and then expect you to do nothing. God will give you a miracle moment, a little vision, a heart change. He'll fill you with something, but he's like, Big Papa, I need you to do the process. Does that make sense? So let's talk about the first one. Someone say champion. I believe if you're going to be a champion, Christ is the king of my life and my family. Someone say, Christ is the king. Come on, say, Christ is the king. Let's be honest, gentlemen, you will follow someone. Let me say this, everyone follows someone. I find no one else who is worth following. There is no one in the history of men who is even comes close to Jesus. So how do we put Christ as King? Let me put it down to you very simply. Shema is an interesting name. Shema actually means barren. Someone say barren. And it's interesting, but the name Jehovah Shema means God is there. I'm like, man, what's up with that? Like, his name Shema meant barren. Part of his name meant barren, but then Jehovah Shema actually means God is there. And I was thinking about that for a moment. I was like, man, I wonder how many guys have a barren past. But if they'll allow Jehovah Shema, the Lord, to step into and be present with them and just say, God, I'll fight, but I need you to be with me. I need you to overcome in my life. I need your presence. If we'll just get more men to say, God, I need your presence every day, good things will happen. That's why we do the Lord's Prayer every day. Father, hallowed be your name. And go through the list and go through the sections. Why? Because it leads you to Christ, but also leads you to personal freedom, where Christ is the cornerstone of your life. Christ is the King. Guess what? You're not. Just remind the person next to you, you're not the King. If you want to look at 99% of the problems in our society, you know what it is? Christ isn't the King there. Do you want to look at 99% of the problems in your life? Christ isn't the King there in that problem. Oh, he's the King, but is he the King in that section? Christ is the King of my life and my family. The next section of champion, humility. Humility will promote me. Say that with me, humility will promote me. Let me give you an example here. Let's say you got a super talented football player. He's big, he's 6'5", he's 250 pounds. He can throw like ridiculously. All these colleges are looking at him and everyone's like, man, we need this guy, we need this guy. If he's not coachable, can I ask you a question? Will he reach his potential? That's how we need to look at ourselves. Great potential. If you're not coachable, you cannot reach it. And humility, I want to tell you this, it's your friend. Humility says, I can take advice. Someone can tell me where I'm wrong. They can say, listen, your attitude sucks. Listen, I think, I don't know, you're just talking about this too much. Man, careful there. You seem to be giving that girl too much attention. You married, like, hey man, you're hanging out with her. Oh really? Nice little compliment there. This wasn't in my notes. This is for someone. If you're married, don't compliment girls too much because you'll feed something in them that they want, but you'll actually create emotional attachments that you don't need. Just because you put a ring on your finger doesn't mean you're not attracted to anyone else. Just trying to help our wives, amen. Humility will promote me. Our current success, if we're not careful, is the greatest danger to our future success. Our current success, if we're not careful, is the greatest danger to our future success. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Let me say this about humility. Humility isn't a personality type. It's not being quiet. It's being quickly obedient. It's being coachable. And I've often found this, that the thing that I don't want someone to talk to me about is the thing I need someone to talk to me about. Someone say, I will. Embrace. Humility. Number three, today. Attitude. I choose a prositive attitude every day, and I do mean prositive. I stole it from Keith Craft. Here we go. Show this on the screen, gentlemen. Keep up, son. I choose a prositive attitude every day. What is prositive? It's proactively positive. proactively positive. If you don't choose your attitude, it'll be chosen for you. Might be tired, might be selfish, whiny, negative, lustful, lazy, or entitled every day. But if I choose a positive, proactively positive, which means I feed it, I ask myself, what am I grateful for? I enter worship, I praise the Lord, I give thanks, I read books, I read the Word, I allow the Word of God to shift me and shape my life. What happens to my life? I become proactively positive. How many of you need some proactive positivity in your life? Say yes. We all need it. Now, certain personality types do head that way, but I want to encourage you, choose to feed your mind daily. Someone say, feed your mind daily. Fourth one. Christ is the king of my life and family. Humility will promote me. Choose a positive attitude every day. The fourth one is this: I'm growing in maturity. I think it's an important thing to say. Someone say, I am growing in maturity. I would say this. Maturity is this. For young men, it's taking responsibility. For all men, it's taking responsibility. Notice how that didn't change? I would say also this. The longer you've been a Christian, don't think you're mature if you're not taking responsibility for someone else. You can know a lot of stuff. You can know so much of the Bible, but be doing so little. Don't be that Christian. Can I get a good amen? Grow in maturity. Next one is provider. If you're going to be a champion, you need to be a provider. Is it a provider? Yeah, okay, good. They're with me. Men, we protect. Someone say protect. Someone say we provide. We protect physically. We provide financially. We are the prophet of our home. That means to protect our home from deception. We are the priest for our home. We pray for it and we lift it up, but we must be providers. Someone say provide. Provision means obviously financial, but provision is far more than that. It's actually to provide emotional support sometimes when needed. It's to provide prayer when needed. It's to cover your home. If I'm going to be a champion in my home, I can't just bring home money. I must bring home emotional support. I must bring home this spirit of protection, this umbrella of my home. Are you with me? Let me say this. If I'm a provider for my home, but I also am a protector of my home, I want to say this about our church. I haven't said enough recently. I believe that 6 a.m. men's prayer is one of the most important places where we protect and provide for our church. It's one of the most important places. I don't want to have a growing church and a shrinking prayer ministry. We need a growing prayer ministry. And I just want to encourage some men again, 6 a.m. at the King's Court. You may not be able to come every time. Commit to maybe bi-weekly, commit to once a month. Show up to a place where you, A, learn to pray, or you're praying for others. Can I get a good amen? I can't tell you the amount of blessings in my life that came to me because of while I was praying, God gave me a little something. It was in worship, it was in prayer, it was in insight. It was a weed. It was a pull out of weed. That's in your heart. Jesus, can you take that? Man, prayer is the place. Can I get a good amen? The next one is this. I refuse to stay ignorant in the areas I must grow in. Say that with me. I refuse to stay ignorant in the areas I must grow in. One of my favorite leadership quotes is simply this: you can't grow yourself unless you know yourself. John Maxwell says that all the time. You can't grow yourself unless you know yourself. What are you gifted in? You got to know what it is. What are your weaknesses? You got to know what it is. Let me ask you a question. Sometimes you got to ask yourself, is it a weakness in gifting or is that a weakness in character? Because most of the time you can't fix your weakness in your gifting. but you can definitely fix your weakness in your character. Can I get a good amen? I'm going to move quickly here. How many of you are hot? Is it hot in here? Or is it just the light shining on my forehead? I got a towel like Bishop Jake's over here. Just gentlemen, don't be a just enough man. Be an overflow man. Let me say this. I believe, this is a confession, I believe for God's overflow in my life, my family, and my church. When I see Paul pray, there's nothing skimpy and short and small about his prayers, is there? They're big. Ephesians chapter 3, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more, someone say more. More than all we ask or imagine. So if God can do more than we're asking or imagine, are we even asking big enough? Notice he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, he says, God is able to bless you abundantly. So in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's overflow kind of mentality, isn't it? That's overflow. He says, man, I'm more than a conqueror. That's overflow in spirit, overflow in faith, overflow in abundance, overflow. That doesn't necessarily mean just riches over here. No, it's an overflow spirit. The last one is this. Never quit. Let me say this. I'll never quit following after all that God has for me. And I will pass it on to the next generation. Come on, say that again. I will never quit following after all that God has for me. And I will pass it on to the next generation. There's this interesting story in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets a burden to build the walls, gathers a team, gets money, gets finance, gets a plan together. Then the Bible says this. They built the walls in 52 days. 52 days. 52 days they built something so that the worship of God could be restored, so that the people of God could be restored, so that the house of God could be restored, and they did it in 52 days. I started thinking about 52 days. It's 52 days until 252. So I was praying about it, thinking about it. Do you know your words are building something? Every time you say, oh, I'm a loser, you're building something. I don't have the energy, you're building something. But every time you say, man, I'm going to be strong. You may not feel strong. Sometimes you're going to say, I'm going to be strong. Most times when I've got to do stuff that's hard, I don't feel courageous. I feel the exact opposite. And here's what I've found. You got to say it different. And you got to speak it different. What if every word you said over your life came true? Would you start building something different? Would you start saying something different? Come on, stand to your feet, gentlemen. I want us to do this real quick. I want us to do a confession. I want to challenge, flip over this card. What would happen if 400 plus men every morning in this house went through the Lord's Prayer every morning and then just began to declare this over your life? Now, some of you may do more than this and shout out to you, but I'm trying to take some men from doing nothing to doing something. I'm trying to help men who are kind of trying to get their faith together but don't know how to do it and feel like they're getting stuck. And what if all throughout the season of Transform, all of our fearless youth men, all of the men who are coming to 252, maybe you haven't even decided you're going to come yet, why don't you just start declaring every morning you can be a champion for God? And then start to declare that Christ is the center of your home and humility is my friend. And I'm going to choose a positive attitude. I'm going to grow in maturity. Man, I will provide. I will protect. I will be the priest of my home. I will not be ignorant of where I need to grow. I'm going to adopt an overflow kind of spirit. And guess what? I will never quit. Sometimes I tell stories and then sometimes I realize I need to tell the story again, because sometimes I realize I told a story and I'm like, yeah, but there was 100 men in our church last time I told that story. So that means there's a whole bunch of people need to hear this story. Years ago, I was probably, 14. I was a decent runner. And so I did 400, 800 and so forth. And well, anyway, I always gave it my best. Like, that's what I did, right? Compete, give it your best. 100%, nothing else. 110%, let's go. Harris knows. He's like, oh, say it with your chest, son. Anyway, I had some young men come up to me. I was like, Anthony, don't run as fast as you can in this race, because the next race it's the 4x100 and we can win it, blah, blah, blah. So just go slow in the 800 and then at the next thing we'll win. So I was like, everything in me was like, nah, I can't do that. I run as fast as I can. Jerry knows. I ran with Jerry the other day. I could tell already he was fast. I was just like, man, come on. I could tell, just see it. Anyway, my friends motivated me to slow down. And I'm running the 400. I'm running slow like a slob. I'm like middle of the pack. Out of nowhere, I didn't know my dad was watching. And he yells over the crowd. He goes, come on, Chad. What's funny about that moment was he wasn't saying, come on, champ, you can do it. He was saying, come on, champ, you're not running like you can run. Because he knew how I could run. And I remember all of a sudden going, oh no, my dad's watching. And then I tried to catch up and tried to catch up. It was too late. It was over. And I just wonder how many thoughts, friends' thoughts, your thoughts, slowing you down, stopping you. You can't change, you can't grow, you can't. And let me just say over your life, let the Father speak over you. Come on, champ, you can run better, you can run faster, you can become more by the grace of God, by the word of God, by the people around you, by this house. You can become more. I'm shouting for your destiny. I'm shouting for your generation. I'm shouting for you to become more. There's heaven wants you to become more. Can I get an amen? So let me ask you a question. Are you ready to transform? I said, are you ready to transform? Is it easy? No, it's not easy, but is it worth it? So come on, let's transform. Let's become who God wants us to become. Put your hand on your stomach real quick. Father, stir every gift. Stir every passion. Stir the right desires. Leadership gifts. All the gifts that sit in this room that are meant to bless women and children, they're meant to bless generations, just stir them. Business gifts and administration and teaching and sports and coaching and leadership, the equipping of the saints for the works of ministry. I pray for them today. Let the fire of heaven touch dormant gifts, that they will be fruitful. Now I pray for the wounds. Father, I pray for the wounds, I pray for the hurts, I pray for the rejection, I pray for the words, sometimes that have pierced more than we think. Holy Spirit, in these moments, heal, strengthen your men, strengthen them, help them be strong, help them be mighty, help them be warriors, help them be servants, help them not promote themselves, but help them promote Jesus. I lift up their faith to you that it be strong. I lift up their lives to you, Jesus. Jesus, King of all kings and Lord of all lords, I ask over your sons, they're yours, Lord. So breathe upon them in Jesus' name. Breathe upon your sons. Oh, empower and equip them. Empower and equip them, I pray. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let the presence of God just touch them where they might need it. Refresh all of the worship team, me, the leaders, God, group builders, leaders, kids, it doesn't matter where they lead. I pray for a refreshing on all of us now. Let a fresh oil flow, Lord, like rivers. God, in barren places, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need one another. We need the Word of God. We need you. We need you. Eyes closed all across this place. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never met the King of all kings. I would tell you this, He made you. He loves you. Loves you so much. He died on the cross for you. Shed His blood for you. Rose from the dead. Knows every intricate detail of your life. And maybe you're in this place and faith might feel foreign and this environment might feel foreign. But God is speaking to you today. And He says, son, son, come to me. Come to me in this place. And I sense the Lord really drawing perhaps a prodigal home. You knew God at one time, you walked away from God. But now you need to come back to God today. Maybe there's someone here today. Never place your faith in Christ. I just feel in my heart. There's some people who need to do it publicly today. And here's what I'm going to do. I can't come to you, but I'm going to ask you to come to me. If you're here today and you need to say yes to Christ, you know you need to come back to Him. With eyes closed all across this place, I'm going to ask you quickly, raise up your hand, raise it up high. All across this place, there's sons, there's men, there's young men, there's men who just feel like they need to come home. Feel like there's this drawing of the love of God that men need to come home. Praise God for every single hand. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. There's something that happens when we make a step to God, He makes a step to us. The prodigal, he ran home. I feel like there's some people who need to run home today, and the grace of God's going to meet you. So all across this place, if you raise your hand today, we're over time, but I need to take this moment. You can put your hand down, but I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you all across this place, and you might need to make some room for some men, but I'm going to ask you now to come forward, man. And we're just going to have a few leaders pray for you. And all across this place, come on, give them a hand as they come. There's a bunch of men who need to come. There's a couple of men. This will be a life-defining moment for you. Prodigals will come. I'm just going to ask you to come right to this front here just so I can shake your hand. Thank you, champion. Thank you, champion. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God, I'm going to have you come to the front. Yeah, awesome, man. High five. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Maybe at one time you walked with God and now you don't. That's okay. You can just look this way. Look this way. No shame, no guilt, no. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a couple more coming. Come on, give them a hand as they continue to come. Come on, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you're at the front, just close your eyes. It just is a simple sign. Open hands, open heart to heaven. When the prodigal came home, he had dirt on him, he had filth on him. But as he walked on home, the father ran towards him, took off his coat, speaking of his nature, his character, gave him a ring, signifying that the father's name and inheritance, gave him new sandals to wear, threw a party for him. I want to tell a young man in here, every man in here, when you come back to the Father, He throws a party for you. So why don't we say this simple prayer? Say, Jesus, today I come home to the Father's house. I believe your grace, your favor, your blessing to cover my life. The goodness of God to cover my life. Forgive my sin. From this day on, help me know you, walk with you, and be a blessing wherever I go. Fill me with your Spirit. I place my faith in you right now.